You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and we will continue in this episode exploring the book of Revelation. We've been in a series looking at each of the different views presented in the September 22nd edition of the Baptist Messenger, and I'm excited in this edition to be interviewing Wade Burleson. Wade is senior pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Enid. Pastor Wade, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Now, your article was most interesting in that it took the preterist view. And for our listeners, could you take a brief moment and unpack that term? What is a preterist, and how does it apply to the book of Revelation?
Well, the word preterism is Latin, and it means having been fulfilled, or in layman's terms, it means it's accomplished, it's been done. And so a preterist is one who believes that the prophecies of the Bible, which were, when they were written, actually future, have already been fulfilled. That's what the word means.
Excellent. And you talk in the piece about your own spiritual journey and understanding of the book. You weren't always approaching the book from a preterist view. What was that like to experience that transformation?
Interesting. I've always been a dispensationalist or a premillennialist. In fact, at our church, the vast majority of people would be premillennial or dispensational. And if I ever teach on end times, which the technical term is eschatology, I teach all four major views. So I'm not a hardline preterist by any means. I believe that there should be freedom for people to interpret the Scripture the way the Holy Spirit leads them. And, of course, someone would say, but there's only one right interpretation. And I would agree with that. And that's one of the reasons why I've come to the view that I've come to. I believe it's the most biblical. It's the most logical. It is the most consistent with all the teachings of Scripture and the words of Jesus. But again, I'm not hardline. I teach all four views and tell people to let the Holy Spirit guide them. But my transformation occurred over about 20 years from being a hardline dispensationalist, meaning I believed what Left Behind taught, what everybody said about the end of the world, and had all the charts and the diagrams, and taught it, preached it, and so on, preached through Revelation. And frankly, it was a struggle preaching from a dispensational perspective, because I had to depend on what everybody else was saying, because frankly, I didn't have a clue. But when I came to an understanding that reading the New Testament from the view of a first century Christian, a first century follower of Christ, and not reading in Western culture, and not reading in modern world views, but putting yourself in the shoes of the hearers, of those who would listen to Jesus teach or to the Apostle John teach, it's simple. Listen to what they say, and when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everything I say to you will all occur within a generation. Accept it. And so I believe what Jesus said in Matthew 24, what the Apostle John described in Revelation as taking place shortly, took place shortly. The things were fulfilled within 40 years in the destruction of Jerusalem and the fall of the temple in 70 AD.
That's well said. And you took on this view that Revelation would be written later in the first century. In fact, it's critical to the opinion of preterism that it would be written earlier. What are the implications there?
Yeah, well, sure. That is the heart of the issue. If Revelation was written in 95 AD, which is the traditional view, then frankly, to say that Revelation and the prophecies of Revelation have been fulfilled would be ludicrous and illogical. I believe Revelation was written prior to 70 AD, prior to the fall of the temple. And what John was encouraging these early followers of Jesus Christ to recognize is, put your trust in the risen Lord, the King who is on a white horse. He is your hope He is your Savior. His shed blood has accomplished your redemption. Don't put your trust in a Jewish temple. Don't put your trust in a way of worship that you are accustomed to, because it's all going to be destroyed, and you're going to go through a great tribulation. And put your faith in Christ, the risen Lord. So I believe what he said in Revelation and what Jesus said in Matthew 24 was basically an encouragement to these early Christians to be strong and to endure to the end of the affliction that was coming and was fulfilled in 70 AD. So the internal evidence I mentioned in the article is fairly clear. John writes of the temple as if it is standing. And that would be impossible if he wrote after 70 AD. It would be like me writing of the Washington, D.C. Capitol still standing if it had been destroyed by a nuclear bomb 25 years after it had been destroyed. Doesn't make sense. So many reasons why I put the writing of Revelation prior to 70 AD.
That's a strong argument. And one thing I appreciated about your piece as well, Pastor Burleson, is that you do affirm a future coming of Christ, and that's really what unites all four writers. There was a Christocentric view of the book of Revelation and the story of Christ and the glory of his return and the meaning
absolutely.
Of the resurrection.
In fact, when we speak of the future coming of Christ, the Bible is quite clear. When Stephen died by being stoned, Christ came for him. Christ will come for you at your death and for me at my death, or he will come to end the age in which we live and usher in eternity. And this is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the meek will inherit the earth. Yeah, of course Jesus is coming. The curse will be reversed. And, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I don't like the word preterism. When people say, oh, you're a preterist. No. I don't like labels like that. I'm a biblicist. I believe the Bible, and there's all kinds of preterists, just like there are all kinds of dispensationalists. And but yes, you are correct. The future coming of Christ is an important doctrine. It's just that all these who say they know exactly how it's going to occur, I think they're wasting their time because they're interpreting prophecy that has already been fulfilled.
That's well said as well. And one thing I appreciated about you and the other writers, each of you avoided some of the common pitfalls of exploring the book of Revelation, some of the left-behind implications, some of the Bible in one hand, newspaper in another, or Bible in one hand, history book in another. It was about the Bible. It was biblical. And you just hit on that point. Now, you list some recommended readings. Could you tell maybe one or two to our listeners that you really would recommend, that if this perspective was interesting to them and they wanted to hear more, where could they go?
Yeah, you know, probably the best place to start would be with R.C. Sproul, who wrote a little book entitled The Last Days According to Jesus. And it's outstanding, very simple to read. It gives you some basic understanding, and Sproul, like I, believes in the future coming of Christ. But he, I think, is just brilliant in his interpretation of Matthew 24 and Revelation. Of course, for those who are theologians, John Owen's exposition of Hebrews and Peter, the writings of John Owen are just incredible, but they're pretty deep. And he takes a similar position that I would take on the scriptures. And then if you're looking for a Southern Baptist, there's a fellow by the name of John Bray, an older evangelist, who's written some extraordinary books. One is entitled Matthew 24 Fulfilled. And, you know, and the others that I've mentioned are excellent as well. The one thing I would say is this, and this is why I think the church I pastor is just extraordinary. This issue to me is not a fundamental of the faith, meaning we're not talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ and how a person is saved. Now, it's important, but it's not fundamental to the Christian faith. And so in our church, all four perspectives that were so eloquently articulated in the articles are held on our pastoral staff. We'll have debates. And when I teach it, another pastor will teach it an opposing view. And then we just let folks study it for themselves. And that's the way Christianity should be, a cookie-cutter mold of how a Christian should think or what orthodoxy is in terms of the coming of Christ, I think it's detrimental to Christian thinking and to Christian Bible study. So I commend the Baptist Messenger and the Southern Baptist of Oklahoma for moving in this direction and giving four different views.
I thank you for your kind words and for recommending those readings. I would want to encourage everyone listening to visit BaptistMessenger.com and see this sort of magnanimous interaction that Pastor Burleson has been talking about. I am Brian Hobbs, Director of Communications with the BGCO, and it's been my pleasure to walk through this series on exploring the Book of Revelation and include on a high note with this time with Pastor Wade Burleson, Senior Pastor of Enid Emanuel. Pastor Burleson, thank you again for your time and your insight and your efforts.
Thank you, Brian. God bless you.
Blessings to you. You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit BaptistMessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.